from the Q Center on the grounds of the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today on the Wahoo Central podcast is Mike Archer, coach of the safeties on the UVA football team. Mike, thanks for stopping by. How's the summer been?
Well, the summer's over, Jeff, because we're getting ready to go to camp next Sunday, August 3rd, so our vacation's over, and it's now time to get cranked up.
If my math is correct, you're heading into your 38th season as a college or NFL coach.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in 76, when you started as a graduate assistant at your alma mater, the University of Miami, did you know this was the career path you were going to follow?
Well, I kind of anticipated it. When I was playing high school football in Pennsylvania, my high school coach, Jim Williams, who is in the Pennsylvania High School Football Hall of Fame, you know, my father passed away when I was 9 years old, so I didn't have a real strong father figure, and he became my mentor. A lot of the principles and core principles that Coach Williams stood for, you know, I still use in coaching, and that hasn't changed. And so when I went to college, you know, I played at the University of Miami. I went there as a quarterback, played as a safety, did the punting, held for extra points. I'm still in the record book for the longest field goal. I held for the longest field goal at the University of Miami. So, you know, then when I had the opportunity to stay on, I took advantage of it. And once I got to doing it, Jeff, then there was no question that's what I wanted to do.
You were out of coaching in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Did getting a little bit of distance from the sport and the profession, did that change anything about your approach or philosophy when you got back into it this year?
No, it was the best thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, after 37 years, I tried to stay back in it. There were certain situations I looked into, having been in the NFL for 7 years. I would like to get 3 more years for my retirement to make it better. I'm vested in it right now, but when you get to 10, it's even better.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. I've been away from the NFL for 11 years. I'm not getting any younger. I have white hair, and that's kind of looked down upon in the NFL, because I think there's probably only 4 to 5% of the coaches that work in the NFL that are assistants are over 60.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a kind of a slap in the face, but it was realistic. And I wanted to take time off. I became a grandfather. We traveled. I still stayed involved in football. I was on the Paul Hornung Award Committee, and so I got involved in video and traveling and seeing college football, which I got a totally different perspective of it because, you know, wherever I was, if it was home, you know, I watched all the college football games. I got up Sunday morning. I slept great Saturday night. And, you know, for 37 years, you know, if you lose, you don't sleep at all. And when you win, you're worrying about the next opponent. So I got up every Saturday morning. I went to Mass, and I had breakfast with my wife, and I put the NFL games on. I did my conference calls for the award, and, you know, it was good. And but I, you know, after doing something for 37 years, you get the itch, and I miss the relationships with the players, with the coaches, and with the people that surround your programs. And so when this opportunity came about, you know, knowing what I knew about Virginia, mm-hmm. from having been here 22 years ago, knowing Tom, knowing John, knowing Mike, you know, this was a challenge, obviously. We're not coming into a program that's 10-2. You know, we were 2-10 last year, and, you know, I think it's a great challenge. I think this is a unique university. I think it's a special place, and it takes special people to be successful here.
You, Tom O'Brien, Larry Lewis, Steve Fairchild, and obviously Mike London have all been head college coaches. Have you ever been on another staff with this kind of head coaching experience? And does it make for an interesting dynamic in staff meetings?
Right. No, I've never been on a staff that's had this many head coaches. And I think it's interesting because we've all been at different levels and at different times. You know, I was a head coach way before any of them were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I was a head coach when I was 32. When I came here the first time, I had just been let go at LSU. Tom then became a head coach shortly thereafter. Then Larry, you know, became a head coach, and then Steve became the head coach of Colorado State. So, you know, my perspective of it is a little bit different in the sense that I was a head coach a long time ago, but I was a head coach in a tough league in the SEC. So my perspective of of certain things and the way certain things are done is a little bit different. But I respect all their views because every job is different and you have different challenges.
As you mentioned, this is your second go-round as a UVA assistant. You coached the linebackers on George Welles' staff in 91 and 92. What's it like returning to a school and a football program after a break of 20-plus years? Is it the same place you left?
Well, I'm just glad that they invited me back. You know, I've been very fortunate. Most places, when you leave, they don't invite you back. I was invited back to Kentucky when I left the Steelers in 2003, and I was asked to come back here. So I'm very thankful, as I said last night in Roanoke. I'm very appreciative of the fact they wanted me back. I'm one office down from where I was coaching the linebackers. The building is the same. I sit in the same exact seat location that I did in George Welsh's staff meeting. It's a new chair. Now, Jeff, it's a new chair, but it's the same position that I was in 91 and 92. So, but, you know, like I said earlier, this is a unique university. I've been in the pressure cookers of the SEC and at Kentucky where, your private life is, you don't really have one, to be honest with you. And so the first time I was here, it was a great change for me coming from Baton Rouge and being able to go into restaurants and not have people follow you and ask you for your autograph or have to have a policeman with you. And it's, things are kept in perspective here. You know, it's academics first. And if you look at the overall body of work of our athletic department this year, it's been phenomenal what we've been able to accomplish.
What about the town itself?
It's
had
changed.
You been back to Charlottesville much in that time, or did you get lost driving around?
The town has changed. When I was here the first time, my children were very small, so I was involved. I was a little league dad, soccer. We didn't really partake in going out to dinner and going downtown. And it has changed a great deal. I've only been back a couple. You know, I came back to work guys out in the NFL.
Right.
We were back here in 2011 to play Virginia. So now that I'm back here and my kids are grown up, my wife, when she's here, we've enjoyed going down to the mall, the restaurants. It's really, culturally, it's a unique place, and it's got some outstanding things to do.
You spent 7 seasons with the Steelers as their linebackers coach before you got back to the college game in 2003. How did the NFL experience shape you as a coach? From college, going to NFL, then going back to college.
The biggest thing is that I'm not afraid to say this. When I went to the Steelers, I had been coaching, I think, for 25 years. I thought I knew a lot of football. I really didn't know as much football as I thought. And being around Dick LeBeau, who, in my opinion, is one of the all-time great coaches, being around Bill Cowher. You know, Dick LeBeau took time when I first went to Pittsburgh. Every night after work, we would sit in Three River Stadium, and we'd go over cut-ups, and he would explain the defenses to me. You know, the Steelers' defense is tremendously complex because of the fire zone principles. And so, you know, he took time to teach me the defense, and Coach Cowher taught me things. And so the most humbling thing, 2 things stand out. Number one, I didn't know as much football as I thought. Number two, they call you by your first name. So instead of Coach or Coach Archer, they call you Mike, you know, because that's the way that they do things in the pros. Some of those guys, that's their job. Mm-hmm. You know, this is their job. It's, you know, it's more than an 8-to-5 job. They're in there at 6-7 in the morning watching film. Some of them don't go home until 7 at night. So those were the 2 biggest adjustments.
You grew up in State College, Pennsylvania. How did you end up at Miami and not at Penn State?
Well, you know, I grew up there, and I wanted to get away, to be honest with you. I grew up there. I would be on campus and socialize on campus. I had friends that I went to high school with that were in fraternities and sororities there. So, you know, and really the main reason I went to Miami was because of warm weather and have the opportunity to play baseball. And, you know, the baseball program wasn't as good as it is now. But I just really, to be honest with you, Jeff, I wanted to get away. And, you know, I got away a long ways away.
You got to know Coach Welsh, right, when you were in
high school.
So just when he was an assistant, and I think I read somewhere or heard you say his wife.
Yeah, Sandra taught me. She taught me in 8th grade. She didn't give me an A. I can't believe it. But, yeah, she taught me in 8th grade at Eastley Parkway Middle School. And I knew Coach Welsh, and yeah, Sandra, you know, she's really a special person, and she had a great personality. And when we came here the first time, I'll never forget when my wife and I got here, she hadn't changed a bit. You know, she's Sandra.
At the ACC football media deal over the weekend in Greensboro, Anthony Harris said he wanted to check your and John Tenuta's birth certificates because he's convinced you're related. Tell us about your relationship with John. How far back do you guys go? I think he once described you both as Bill Arnsparger disciples.
Yeah, we are. My relationship with John goes back to when I was an assistant at LSU working for Coach Arnsparger. John was, I think, at Marshall at the time, and he would call and ask if I would send defensive cut-ups of our defenses. And at LSU, they have a painting. In the middle of the field is a big eye of the tiger. That's a big tradition. And John has told me many times that when they would put the film on, the players at Marshall would love to see that tiger, the eye of the tiger. So, you know, then I took over as a head coach and was there, you know, for 4 years as the head coach. And we went our different ways. John then, you know, he was at Marshall. He was at Kansas State. He was at SMU. I went my different ways. But because of Bill Arnsparger and the people that he coached with, and our paths never really crossed until we got to NC State. Now, I knew John from being in this league. I watched on film. But we speak the same. I think the best thing to say, we speak the same language. Right. What Coach Arnsparger taught me, he taught John. So when he talks about a buster drop or he talks about match, carry, deliver, we're speaking the same language because I've heard it for over 30 years.
As much as John loves football, I'm not sure he doesn't like baseball even more.
Right.
How much do you
We're both the same baseball? Way, you know, because my son played baseball in college, and I love baseball. I mean, I really enjoyed this spring being here and watching our Virginia baseball team and advance to the College World Series. You know, I've been fortunate. I coached at Miami when we got that baseball program turned around and winning national championships. I was at LSU with Skip Bertman for two of them. So it's nice to see what Brian and their staff have done, and it's incredible because in 91 and 92, that baseball program wasn't anything like that. But John and I really, I mean, I follow baseball. It's exciting to me up until training camp. And then after training camp starts, you don't really follow it until the World Series. But we know a lot about it. You know, his son Matt is pitching right with the Royals. So, you know, every day I get on my iPad to see if he pitched and how he did.
You've been part of a lot of successful football teams. What's your sense after going through a spring of the talent level in the program here overall and particularly – on the defensive side, which is your area of expertise?
Well, you know, when I got here, I made it a point to, you know, to be very impartial, and I looked at all the tapes from last year, and it was some of it was hard to watch, but I had already seen most of the games. I watched all their games on TV, or I watched them on video, and you know, we weren't as bad as we. As our record indicated, we were in many games, and the things that stood out to me were. And we've talked about this, you know, mental discipline. You know, when things are going good, it's great. And all of a sudden, something bad. There's going to be something bad happen in every game. And you've got to be able to overcome it. And I don't think that we did a very good job of that last year. And I think the other thing is we've got to be physically tougher here. My perception of Virginia football players, when I coached against them and when I coached here before, Virginia's always had a reputation of being physically tough, played you for 60 minutes and played hard. And last year, you know, there were times last year we were not a physical football team, not a physical enough football team. So I think those are the two things that stood out. We weren't as bad as our record indicated, but all you can go by is the final record, and we've got to live with that. I think that was a humbling experience for everybody involved in the program, and we can only go up.
You got a lot of guys back at safety who have played college football, most notably Anthony Harris, who was an All-American last season. What are your thoughts on Ant and on the group as a whole?
Well, you know, I'm very fortunate in that, you know, I have a guy like Anthony Harris and you have Brandon Phelps and then you have a freshman like Quinn Blanding coming in. You know, the thing that sets Anthony apart, being around him for 5 months, Anthony likes football. He likes to practice. He likes to watch film. He likes to prepare. You know, and I can honestly tell you, there's a lot of guys in the NFL that don't like to practice. They're getting paid a lot of money. There's guys in the NFL that, you know, that really don't enjoy watching film and getting ready to play on Sundays. And this kid, you know, this is what he's all about. And he can't get enough of it. And I think that's the greatest attribute. He's not, you know, he understands that he's not 6'4", and he's not 215 pounds. So he's going to work, and he wants to know what his weaknesses are so he can get stronger in those areas. That's a credit to the young man. You know, and Brandon Phelps has played a lot of football. You know, Quinn, I'm excited about seeing what Quinn can do. I've met with him. I've talked to him. I've seen him physically, but I've not worked with him on the field. You know, and so I know we're counting on him, and it's my job to get him ready to play against UCLA.
And he is somebody who is 6'4", 215.
Yes, he is. So. You know, and he's what you're looking for from a safety standpoint to be able to play in space, and which you're going to be doing a lot in college football with all the spread offenses.
What do you think of the new NCAA rule that allows coaches to work, at least in the meeting room with the players, for a couple hours every week during summer school?
Well, I think it's long overdue. Because let's face it, I'm sure there were people that were doing it illegally. And basically, you know, guys would come in. One guy might come in. It's not a problem if one guy comes in, but now you can work with your entire unit. You know, and I think it was very helpful for us this summer. It gives them, gives our players an opportunity to constantly be able to watch film and be able to do chalkboard.
Where are you going to be during games? Are you a press box guy or sideline?
No, I'm going to be on the sidelines. John has to be upstairs because he'll get 15-yard penalties from the officials. See, I'm the diplomatic guy on the sidelines with the officials.
What is your role going to be on special teams? I know that's an area that Coach London is looking for improvement across the board this fall.
Well, I'm going to be involved. I'm coaching all the returners, punt returners, kick returners. And I will, there are certain aspects of some of the other teams, but the main emphasis for me is to coach the returners, make sure we're making the right decisions, catching the ball, not catching the ball, letting it go out into the end zone. So these are things that we practiced a lot in the spring. That was one thing I told Mike. I said, you know, if I'm going to coach them, you got to give us time to work, you know, where we are in the field, because there was a few, I looked at those tapes last year. We gave away a lot of field position by letting the ball hit the ground last year sometimes, letting the ball hit us for fumbles.
I had Darius Jennings on last week. He was my guest. I asked him, how difficult is it to really get better at something that you don't do live in practice, returns?
I mean,
you're never
correct
full out live tackling.
Right.
11 on 11.
That's you know, that's the choice that you have to make because of injuries. But what you can rep is decision making, you know, in particular with punts. You know, when you're backed up, you know, I tell them, put your heels on the 10. You know, I don't want anybody backing up. But now there's going to be a time where the ball looks like it's coming straight down and you're on the 10. And, you know, if you catch it, if you don't catch it, it may go straight up in the air. So there's going to be times where, as I tell them, you got to make that decision. I can't. I'm standing over on the sideline. So again, you have to put them in all the situations as much as you can. Hope they make the right one.
All right, last question for today, if you got time for one more. You were here during what was a golden era for UVA football. The ACC has obviously changed a lot since then. So has the national landscape in college football. Given all that, is it any tougher for Virginia to compete in football now than it was in the early 90s? And do you see any reason why this can't be a consistently successful program again?
Well, the ACC is a lot tougher. College football has become tougher. You look at the SEC now, you know, with the teams, and now you look at ours with Syracuse and Pitt and Louisville and Notre Dame coming in on a part-time basis. So it's tougher, but no, you know, I think we can compete. I mean, 25 years ago, who would have thought that Oregon would compete for national championships? Who would think that Stanford? Who would think that Vanderbilt? Who would think that Duke would win the Coastal Division? You know, last year at this time, Duke was picked to finish last in our division. They went 10-2, probably did as good a coaching job as anybody. I saw them last spring practice. I saw five of their games this year. Did the best job of coaching of anybody in the country. They don't have, and this is not a knock on, they don't have the same players that some of these other teams in our league do. But they coached them, they got better, and, you know, the result was 10-2 and Coastal Division champs.
Thanks. That's great. Mike, thanks so much for making time for this interview, and best of luck.
Thanks, Jeff.
Training camp for football opens on August the 3rd. UVA's other fall sports start practicing next month, too, so it won't be long before the 2014-15 athletic year is in full swing. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for news and updates on all our teams, and thanks for listening.